1299. And bitumen had they for mortar. That this signifies that they had the evil of cupidity instead of good is evident from the signification in the word of bitumen and of mortar. As the subject here treated of is the building of the Babylonian tower, such things are set forth as are used in building. Here, bitumen, because it is sulphurous and inflammable, and in the word by such things are signified cupidities, especially those which belong to the love of self. Here, bitumen signifies both the evils of cupidities and the derivative falsities, which also are the evils wherewith the tower was built, concerning which more will be said hereafter. That such things are signified is evident in Isaiah. The day of vengeance of Yehovah, the torrents shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into sulphur, and the land thereof into burning pitch. 34 verses 8 and 9. Pitch and sulphur denote the falsities and evils of cupidities, and so in other places. 1300. That mortar or clay signifies the good whereof the mind or the man of the church is formed is also evident from the word. Thus in Isaiah, Now, O Yehovah, thou art our father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. 64 verse 8. Clay denotes the man himself of the church who is being formed, and thus the good of charity, by means of which comes all the formation of man, that is, his reformation and regeneration. In Jeremiah, As the clay in the potter's hand, so are we in thy hand, the house of Israel. 18 verse 6. The meaning here is similar. It is all the same whether building by means of clay or formation is spoken of. 1301. That these things are signified may now be seen by anyone, both from the signification of all the things mentioned in this verse, and from such things being here mentioned as the kinds of stones and of mortar that they used. Things by no means worthy to be mentioned in the word of the Lord, unless these arcana were contained within them. 1302 verse 4. And they said, Come, let us build us a city and a tower, and its head in heaven. And let us make us a name, lest peradventure we be scattered upon the faces of the whole earth. And they said, signifies that it came to pass. Let us build us a city and a tower, signifies that they framed a doctrine and a worship. A city is a doctrine, a tower is the worship of self. And its head in heaven, signifies even to their having dominion over the things that are in heaven. And let us make us a name, signifies that thereby they might have a reputation for power. Lest peradventure we be scattered upon the faces of the whole earth, signifies that otherwise they would not be acknowledged. 1303. And they said, That this signifies that it came to pass follows from the connection, just as the preceding words, They said a man to his fellow, signified that it was begun. For Babel is here described, and what its quality is, by the tower. 1304. Let us build us a city and a tower. That this signifies that they framed a doctrine and a worship may be seen from the signification of a city and from that of a tower, concerning which we will treat presently. The church is of such a nature that when charity towards the neighbor departs and the love of self succeeds in its place, The doctrine of faith is of no account, except in so far as it can be turned into the worship of self. And nothing whatever is accounted holy in worship unless it is for the sake of self. And thus, unless it is self-worship, all love of self is attended with this. For he who loves himself more than others not only hates all who are not subservient to him, and shows them no favor except when they have become subservient, but also in so far as he is not under restraint, he rushes on even until he exalts himself above God. That this is the nature of the love of self when the reins are given to it has been shown me to the life. This is what is signified by a city and a tower. The love of self and every derivative cupidity is of all things the most filthy and the most profane, and is the most infernal. And from this any one may conclude what the quality of that worship must be which contains within it such a state. 1305. That a city signifies doctrine, or that which is doctrinal, whether genuine or heretical, has been shown before. Number 402. 1306. That a tower is the worship of self is evident from the signification of a tower. The worship of self exists when a man exalts himself above others, even to the point of being worshipped. And therefore the love of self, which is arrogance and pride, is called height, loftiness, and being lifted up, and is described by all things that are high, as in Isaiah. The eyes of man's pride shall be humbled, and the loftiness of men shall be brought low, and Yehovah himself alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of Yehovah of hosts is upon every one proud and high, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be humbled. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every lofty tower, and upon every fenced wall. 2:11-18. This treats of the love of self, which is described by the cedars, oaks, mountains, hills, and tower, that are high and lifted up. Again, there shall be rivers, streams of waters, in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers shall fall. 30:25. In like manner, this denotes the love of self and the exalting of self in worship. And again, behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people was not. Asher hath founded it in Zeam. They will set up their watchtowers, they will raise up their palaces, he will make it a ruin. 23:13. Said of Tyre and its vast station, watchtowers expressed by another word denote the fantasies therefrom. In Ezekiel, I will cause many nations to come up against thee, O Tyre, and they shall ruin the walls of Tyre and destroy her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and will make her the dryness of a rock. 26:3-4. The signification here is similar. The love of self in worship, or the worship of self, is called a tower, for the reason that a city signifies doctrine, as before shown, number 402. And cities were formerly fortified with towers, in which there were watchmen. And there were also towers on the borders, which for this reason were called towers of watchmen. Second Book of Kings, 9:17, 17:9, 18:8, and watchtowers, Isaiah 23:13. And besides, when the church of the Lord is compared to a vineyard, those things which belong to worship and to its conservation are compared to a winepress and to a tower in the vineyard. as is evident in Isaiah 5, verses 1 and 2, Matthew 21, verse 33, Mark 12, verse 1. 1307. And its head in heaven. That this signifies even to their having dominion over the things that are in heaven follows from what has been said. For to have the head in heaven is to exalt self even that far, as is evident from the description of Babel in other places in the Word, and from what has already been said about lifting up the head, number 257. The love of self is that which is least of all in accord with the celestial life, for all evils come from it, not only hatreds, but also revenges, cruelties, and adulteries. And still less does it accord when it enters into worship and profanes it. And therefore the hells consist of such persons, who the more they would lift up their heads into heaven, the deeper they press themselves down, and the more frightful are the penalties into which they plunge themselves. 1308. And let us make us a name. That this signifies that thereby they might have a reputation for power may be seen from the signification of making oneself a name. For they knew that everyone desires to be in some worship, for this is common to all, and exists among all nations. For everyone who beholds the universe, and still more who considers the order of the universe, acknowledges some supreme entity. And as he desires his own prosperity, he pays adoration to that entity. Moreover, there is something within which dictates this, for such a dictate flows in from the Lord through the angels who are with every man. The man who is not like this, and who does not acknowledge a God, is under the dominion of infernal spirits. Knowing this, those who build Babylonish towers make themselves a name by means of doctrinal and holy things, for otherwise they could not be worshipped, which is signified in what next follows by their otherwise being scattered over the faces of the whole earth, that is, they would not be acknowledged. And from this it follows that the higher such men can lift up the head to heaven, the more they make themselves a name. Their dominion is greatest over those who have some conscience, for these they lead whithersoever they will. But as to those who have not conscience, they rule all such by means of various external bonds. 1309. Lest we be scattered upon the faces of the whole earth. That this signifies that otherwise they would not be acknowledged follows from what has just been said. For to be scattered upon the faces of the whole earth is to be lost to their view, and thus not to be received and acknowledged. 1310, verse 5. And Yahuwah came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man were building. Yahuwah came down signifies judgment upon them. To see the city and the tower signifies because they had perverted doctrine and profaned worship. Which the sons of man were building signifies which they had devised for themselves. 1311. And Yahuwah came down. That this signifies judgment upon them is evident from what has gone before and from what follows, and also from the signification of coming down when predicated of Yahuwah. From what has gone before, where the subject treated of is the building of the city and Tower of Babel, and from what follows, where the subject treated of is the confusion of lips and their dispersion. From the signification of coming down when predicated of Yahuwah, in that this is said when judgment takes place. Yahuwah or the Lord is everywhere present and knows all things from eternity, and therefore it cannot be said of him that he came down to see, except in the literal sense, where it is so said according to the appearances with man. But in the internal sense it is not so, for in this sense the subject is presented as it is in itself, and not according to the appearances, so that in the passage before us, to come down to see signifies judgment. Judgment is predicated of a state when evil has reached its highest, or, as it is termed in the word, when it is consummated, or when iniquity is consummated. For the case herein is that all evil has its limits to which it is permitted to go, but when it goes beyond these limits, it incurs the penalty of evil. This is so both in particular and in general. The punishment of evil is what is then called a judgment. And because it appears at first as if the Lord did not see or observe that the evil exists, for when a man does evil without punishment, he supposes that the Lord troubles not himself about the matter. But when he undergoes the penalty, he begins to think that the Lord sees, and even that the Lord inflicts the punishment. It is therefore said, in accordance with these appearances, that Yahuwah came down to see. To come down is predicated of Yahuwah, because the highest is predicated of him. That is, he is said to be in the highest, and this too according to the appearance. For he is not in things highest, but in things inmost. And this is the reason why in the word, what is highest and what is inmost have the same signification. On the other hand, judgment or the penalty of evil takes place in lower or lowest things. This explains why he is said to come down, as also in David. O Yahuwah, bow thy heavens and come down. Touch the mountains and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Psalm 144, verses 5 and 6. Here the punishment of evil or judgment is signified. In Isaiah, Yahuwah of hosts shall come down to fight upon Mount Zion and upon the hill thereof. 31, verse 4. And again, Oh, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. 64, verse 1. Here in like manner, to come down denotes the penalty or judgment inflicted upon evil. In Micah, Yahuwah cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains shall be molten under him. 1 verses 3 and 4. 1:3:1:2. To see the city and the tower. That these words signify because they had perverted doctrine and profaned worship is evident from the signification of a city and of a tower spoken of above. 1:3:1:3. Which the sons of man were building. That this signifies which they had devised for themselves is clear without explanation. The sons of man here are the sons of the church. For those who are not of the church and have not the cognitions of faith cannot devise such things. That such as these cannot profane holy things has been shown above. Number 301 to 303, 593. 1:3:1:4, verse 6. And Yahuwah said, Behold, the people are one, and they all have one lip, and this is what they begin to do. And now nothing will be withholden from them of all which they have thought to do. And Yahuwah said, signifies that it was so. Behold, the people are one, and they all have one lip. Signifies that they all had one truth of faith and doctrine. And this is what they begin to do. Signifies that they now begin to become different. And now nothing will be withholden from them of all which they have thought to do, signifies unless their state is now changed. 1315. And Yehovah said, that this signifies that it was so, is evident from the fact that here, as has been shown before, we have not true history, but made up history. And therefore, when it is said that Yehovah said, it can signify nothing else but that it was so, as has also been shown above. 1316. Behold, the people are one, and they all have one lip. That this signifies that they all had one truth of faith and doctrine is evident from the signification of people as being the truth of faith, and from the signification of lip as being doctrine. It has been shown before, number 1259, that people signifies the truth of faith, that is, those who are in the truth of faith, and that lip signifies the doctrine of faith, was shown just above at verse 1. The people is said to be one, and their lip one, when all have as their end the common good of society, the common good of the church, and the kingdom of the Lord. For when this is the case, the Lord is in the end, from whom they are all one. But the Lord cannot possibly be present with a man whose end is his own good. The man's proprium itself estranges the Lord, for it twists and turns the common good of society and that of the church itself, and even the kingdom of the Lord, to self, insomuch that it is as if they existed for it. It thus takes away from the Lord what is his, and substitutes itself. When this condition reigns in a man, there is the like of it in every single thought he has, and even in the least particulars of his thoughts, for such is the case with whatever rules in him. This does not appear so manifestly in the life of the body as it does in the other life, for there whatever rules in any one manifests itself by a certain sphere which is perceived by all around him, and which is of this character because it exhales from every single thing in him. The sphere of him who has regard to himself in everything appropriates to itself and, as is said there, absorbs everything that is favorable to itself, and therefore it absorbs all the delight of the surrounding spirits and destroys all their freedom, so that such a person has to be banished from society. But when the people is one and the lip one, that is, when the common good of all is regarded, one person never appropriates to himself another's delight or destroys another's freedom, but in so far as he can, he promotes and increases it. This is the reason why the celestial societies are as one, and this solely through mutual love from the Lord. And the case is the same in the church. 1317. And this is what they begin to do. That this signifies that now they began to become different is evident from the connection. To begin to do here signifies their thought or intention, and consequently their end, as also is evident from the words that next follow. And now nothing will be withholden from them of all which they have thought to do. That in the internal sense their end is signified is because nothing else than the end in a man is regarded by the Lord. Whatever may be his thoughts and deeds, which vary in ways innumerable, provided the end is made good, they are all good. Whereas if the end is evil, they are all evil. It is the end that reigns in everything a man thinks and does. The angels with a man, being the Lord's angels, rule nothing in the man but his ends. For when they rule these, they rule also his thoughts and actions, seeing that all these are of the end. The end with a man is his very life, and all things that he thinks and does have life from the end. For, as was said, they are of the end. And therefore such as is the end, such is the man's life. The end is nothing else than the love, for man cannot have anything as an end except that which he loves. He who thinks one thing and does another still has as the end that which he loves. In the dissimulation itself, or in the deceit, there is the end, which is the love of self or the love of the world, and the derivative delight of his life. From these considerations, anyone may conclude that such as is a man's love, such is his life. These, therefore, are the things signified by beginning to do. 1318. And now nothing will be withholden from them of all which they have thought to do. That this signifies unless their state is now changed may be seen from what follows. The internal sense of the word is of such a nature that it keeps constantly in view the things that follow and also the conclusion, although this does not appear to be so in the literal sense. As regards those who are of the character described above, unless their state were changed, they could not be withheld from doing all that they thought of doing. But that their state was changed is evident from what follows. The thought of doing is nothing but the intention, that is, the end. The end with a man can never be withheld, that is, changed, unless his state is changed. For the end is the very life of a man, as was said. When the state is changed, the end also is changed, and with the end, the thought. The nature of the change of state that took place with the man of this church will, of the Lord's divine mercy, be shown in what follows. 1319, verse 7. Come, let us go down, and there confound their lip, that they hear not a man the lip of his fellow. Come, let us go down, signifies that a judgment was thus effected. And there confound their lip, signifies that not any one has the truth of doctrine. That they hear not a man the lip of his fellow, signifies that all are at variance with one another. 1320. Come, let us go down. That this signifies that a judgment was thus effected is evident from what was said above at verse 5 about the signification of going down. The reason why it is here said in the plural, let us go down and confound their lip, is that it is the execution of a judgment which is effected by means of spirits, and indeed by means of evil spirits. 1321. And there confound their lip. That this signifies that no one has the truth of doctrine may be seen from the signification of lip as being doctrine, concerning which see above at verse 1. Hence it follows that to confound the lips is to confound the things that are of doctrine, that is, the truths of doctrine. In the internal sense, to confound signifies not only to darken, but also to blot out and dissipate, so that there is not any truth. When the worship of self succeeds in the place of the worship of the Lord, then all truth is not only perverted, but is even abolished, and at last falsity is acknowledged in the place of truth, and evil in the place of good. For all the light of truth is from the Lord, and all darkness is from man. And when man takes the place of the Lord in worship, the light of truth becomes thick darkness. And then the light is seen by men as thick darkness, and thick darkness is seen as the light. Such, moreover, is precisely the life of such persons after death. The life of falsity is to them as if it were light, but the life of truth is to them as thick darkness. But when they approach towards heaven, the light of such a life is changed into total darkness. So long as they are in the world, they can indeed speak truth, even with eloquence and apparent zeal. And as there is with all such persons a constant reflection upon self, they seem to themselves to think as they speak. But as their very end is the worship of self, their thoughts derive from the end that they do not acknowledge truth except in so far as self is in the truth. When a man in whose mouth is the truth is of such a character, it is evident that he does not possess the truth. And in the other life this is plainly evident, for there such men not only do not acknowledge the truth which they had professed in the life of the body, but hold it in hatred and persecute it, and this just in proportion as their arrogance or their worship of self is not taken away. 1322. That they hear not a man the lip of his fellow. That this signifies that all are at variance, or that the one is against the other, is evident from the words themselves. Not to hear one another's lip is not to acknowledge what another says, and in the internal sense, not to acknowledge what another teaches, that is his doctrine, for lip is doctrine, as has been shown above at verse 1. They acknowledge it indeed with the mouth, but not with the heart. But agreement with the mouth is nothing when there is disagreement of the heart. The case in this respect is the same as it is with evil spirits in the other life, who, in like manner as the good, are distinguished into societies, but are kept conjoined together by being attached by the like fantasies and cupidities, so that they act as one in persecuting truths and goods. Thus there is a certain common interest by which they are held together. But as soon as this common bond is dissolved, they rush one upon another, and then their delight consists in tormenting their associate or associates. The case is similar with such doctrine and worship in this world. Those in it acknowledge what pertains to doctrine and ritual harmoniously enough. But the common interest that holds them together is the worship of self. And so far as they can share in this common interest, they acknowledge. But so far as they cannot share or hope to share in it, they are disunited. For the reason given just above, that no one of this character possesses any truth, but every one has falsity in the place of truth, and evil in the place of good. This, therefore, is what is signified by their not hearing a man the lip of his fellow. 1323, verse 8. And Yahweh scattered them from thence upon the faces of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And Yahweh scattered them from thence upon the faces of all the earth. Signifies here as before that they were not acknowledged. And they left off to build the city, signifies that such doctrine was not received. 1324. And Yahweh scattered them upon the faces of all the earth. That this signifies that they were not acknowledged is evident from what was said before at verse 4, where the same words occur. And they left off to build the city. That this signifies that such doctrine was not received is evident from the signification of a city as being doctrine, as was shown above, number 402, and from what was said at verses 4 and 5 concerning the building of a city and a tower. From all this it is evident that such doctrine or such worship, wherein interiorly there is the love of self or the worship of self, was not permitted to this ancient church, and this for the reason explained in the verse that next follows. 1325, verse 9. Therefore he called the name of it Babel, because there did Yahweh confound the lip of all the earth. And from thence did Yahweh scatter them upon the faces of all the earth. Therefore he called the name of it Babel, signifies such worship, because there did Yahuwah confound the lip of all the earth, signifies the state of this ancient church, that internal worship began to perish. The earth is the church. And from thence did Yahuwah scatter them upon the faces of all the earth, signifies that internal worship was annihilated. 1326. Therefore he called the name of it Babel. That this signifies such worship, that is, the kind of worship signified by Babel, is evident from what has been said hitherto. That is to say, worship in which interiorly there is the love of self, and therefore all that is filthy and profane. The love of self is nothing else than proprium, and how filthy and profane this is may be seen from what has been shown before concerning proprium. Number 210-215. From self-love, philautia, that is the love of self or proprium, all evils flow, such as hatreds, revenges, cruelties, adulteries, deceits, hypocrisies, impiety. And therefore, when the love of self or proprium is in the worship, such evils are in it, according to the difference and degree of quantity and quality that are from that love. Hence comes all the profanation of worship. In point of fact, in proportion as anything from the love of self or from proprium is introduced into worship, in the same proportion internal worship departs, that is, it comes to pass that there is no internal worship. Internal worship consists in the affection of good and the acknowledgement of truth, and in proportion as the love of self, that is, in proportion as proprium makes its approach or enters in, the affection of good and the acknowledgement of truth depart or go out. What is holy can never be with the profane, just as heaven cannot be with hell, but the one must take its departure from the other. Such is the state and order in the Lord's kingdom. This is the reason why there is no internal worship among such men as those whose worship is called Babel, but only something dead and in fact inwardly cadaverous is worshipped. From this it is evident what must be the quality of the external worship that contains such an internal within it. That such worship as Babel is evident from the word in various places where Babel is described, as in Daniel, where the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, saw in a dream, the head of which was of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and the feet part of iron and part of clay, signifies that out of true worship there finally was made such worship as is called Babel. And therefore a stone cut out of the rock break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. Daniel 2, verses 31-33, 44 and 45. The image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, set up, and which they worshipped, was nothing else. Daniel 3, verses 1-the end. The like is signified by the king of Babylon with his lords, drinking wine out of the vessels of gold that had been brought from the temple at Jerusalem, and praising the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, and of stone, on which account there appeared the writing upon the wall. Daniel 5, verses 1-the end. The like is signified also by Darius the Mede, commanding that he should be adored as a god. Daniel 6, verses 7-the end. And likewise by the beast seen by Daniel in a dream. Daniel 7, verses 1-the end. And the beasts and the Babylon described by John in the Revelation. That such worship was signified and represented is very evident, not only in Daniel and John, but also in the prophets, as in Isaiah. Their faces are faces of flames. The stars of the heavens and the constellations thereof shine not with their light. The sun is darkened in his going forth, and the moon doth not cause her light to shine. There do the Zeim couch, and their houses are filled with the Okim. And the daughters of the night owl dwell there, and satyrs dance there, and Eim answer in her palaces, and dragons in the buildings of pleasure. 13 verses 8, 10, 21, and 22. This is said of Babylon, and the internal of such worship is described by faces of flames, which are cupidities, by the stars, which are truths of faith, not giving their light, by the sun, which is holy love, being darkened, by the moon, which is the truth of faith, not shining, by the Zeim, Okim, daughters of the owl, satyrs, Eim, and dragons, as being the interiors of their worship. For such things are of the love of self, that is, of proprium. And therefore also Babylon is called in John the mother of whoredoms and abominations. Revelation 17, verse 5. And also a habitation of dragons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird. 18, verse 2. From all which it is evident that with such things within there can be nothing of good or of the truth of faith, and that in so far as the goods of affection and the truths of faith depart, such things enter in. The same are called also the graven images of the gods of Babylon. Isaiah 21, verse 9. That it is the love of self or the proprium that is in such worship, or that it is the worship of self, is very evident in Isaiah. Prophesy this parable upon the king of Babylon. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will become like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be cast down to hell. 14 verses 4, 13 to 15. Here it is manifest that Babylon denotes one who desires to be worshipped as a god, that is, that it is the worship of self. Again, come down and sit on the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit in the earth without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. Thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy science, it hath turned thee away. Thou hast said in thine heart, I, and there is none else besides like me. 47 verses 1 and 10. In Jeremiah, behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, that destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and will roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee into a mountain of burning. Though Babylon should mount up to the heavens, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall they that lay waste come to her. 51 verses 25 and 53. From this passage also it is evident that Babylon is the worship of self, that such persons have no light of truth, but total darkness, that is, that they have no truth of faith, is described in Jeremiah. The word that Yahuwah spake against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans, out of the north there shall ascend upon her a nation that shall make her land a desolation, and none shall dwell therein. From man even to beast, they shall move asunder, they shall be gone. 1 verses 1 and 3. The north denotes thick darkness or no truth. No man and no beast, no good. See further concerning Babel below at verse 28, where Chaldea is treated of. 1327. There did Yahuwah confound the lip of all the earth. that this signifies the state of this ancient church, that internal worship began to perish, is evident from its being said, the lip of all the earth, and not as before at verse 7, the lip of those who began to build a city and a tower. By the face of all the earth is signified the state of the church, for the earth is the church, as has been shown before. Number 662, 1066. As regards the churches after the flood, the case stood thus. There were three of these churches that are specifically mentioned in the word, namely the first ancient church, which was named from Noah, the second ancient church, named from Eber, and the third ancient church, named from Jacob, and afterwards from Judah and Israel. As regards the first of these churches, which was named from Noah, that church was as the parent of those which succeeded it, and as is wont to be the case with churches in their beginnings, it was more unimpaired and guiltless than its successors, as is evident also from the first verse of this chapter, in that it had one lip, that is, one doctrine, in consequence of all its members holding charity to be the essential thing. But in process of time, like other churches, this first ancient church began to fall, and this chiefly from the fact that many of them began to aspire after the worship of self, so that they might take precedence of others, as is evident from verse 4, for they said, "Let us build us a city and a tower, and its head in heaven, and let us make us a name." Such men in the church could not but be as a kind of ferment, or as a firebrand causing a conflagration. As the peril of the profanation of what is holy thence impended, see number 571, 582, of the Lord's providence, the state of this church was changed, so that its internal worship perished, while its external worship remained, which is here signified by the statement that Yahuwah confounded the lip of all the earth. It is also evident from this that such worship as is called Babel did not prevail in the first ancient church, but in those which followed, when men began to be worshipped as gods, especially after their death, whence arose the many gods of the Gentiles. The reason why it was permitted that internal worship should perish and external remain was that what is holy might not be profaned, for the profanation of what is holy is attended with eternal damnation. No one can profane what is holy except one who is in possession of the cognitions of faith and who acknowledges the truth of them. A person who does not possess them cannot acknowledge and still less profane them. It is the internal things that can be profaned, for what is holy abides in internal and not in external things. The case in this respect is the same as it is with a man who does what is evil, but does not purpose what is evil. To him the evil that he does cannot be imputed, just as it cannot be imputed to one who does not do it of deliberate intention, or to one who is destitute of reason. Thus a man who does not believe that there is a life after death, and yet performs external worship, cannot profane the things that belong to eternal life, because he does not believe that there is any such life. But the case is quite different with those who know and who acknowledge these things. And this is the reason why it is permitted a man rather to live in pleasures and in cupidities, and by them to remove himself from internal things, than to come into the cognition and acknowledgement of internal things and profane them. For this reason, the Jews are at this day permitted to immerse themselves in avarice, that in this way they may be further removed from the acknowledgement of internal things. For they are of such a character that if they were to acknowledge them, they could not but profane them. Nothing removes men further from internal things than avarice, because it is the lowest earthly cupidity. And the case is the same with many within the church, and it is the same with the Gentiles outside the church. These latter, to wit, the Gentiles, are least of all capable of profanation. This then is the reason why it is here said that Yahuwah confounded the lip of all the earth, and why these words signify that the state of the church was changed, so that its worship became external and devoid of all internal worship. The like was represented and signified by the Babylonian captivity into which the Israelites and afterwards the Jews were carried away, concerning which it is thus written in Jeremiah. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the king of Babylon, and whoso will not put his neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, upon that nation will I visit with the sword, with a famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. 27 verse 8. To serve the king of Babylon, and to put the neck under his yoke, is to be utterly deprived of the cognition and acknowledgement of the good and of the truth of faith, and thereby of internal worship. This is still more plainly evident in the same prophet. Thus hath said Yahuwah to all the people in this city, your brethren who have not gone forth with you into captivity, thus hath said Yahuwah Zebaoth, behold, I send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs. 29 verses 16 and 17. To abide in the city and not go forth to the king of Babylon represented and signified those who were in the cognitions of internal things or of the truths of faith and who profaned them, upon whom it is said there would be sent the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, which are the penalties of profanation, and that they should become like vile figs. That by Babel are signified those who deprive others of all the cognition and acknowledgement of truth was also represented and signified by these things in the same prophet. I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them into Babylon, and shall smite them with the sword. Moreover, I will give all the riches of this city, and all the toil thereof, and every precious thing thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, and they shall spoil them and take them. Jeremiah 20, verses 4 and 5. Hereby all the riches, all the toil, every precious thing, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah are signified the cognitions of faith. Again, with the families of the north I will bring up the king of Babylon upon this land, and upon the inhabitants thereof, and upon all these nations round about. And I will give them to the curse, and will make them a desolation, and a hissing, and everlasting wastes. And this whole land shall be a waste. Jeremiah 25, verses 9 and 11. Here the devastation of the interior things of faith, or of internal worship, is described by Babylon. For the man who worships self possesses no truth of faith, as has been shown before. Everything that is true he destroys and lays waste and carries away into captivity. And therefore Babylon is called a destroying mountain. Jeremiah 51, verse 25. See what has been further said concerning Babel above, number 1182. 1328. And from thence did Yahuwah scatter them upon the faces of all the earth. That this signifies that internal worship was annihilated may be seen from the signification of scattering as being to dissipate. In the proximate sense, the scattering over the faces of all the earth means the dispersion of those who desire to build the city of Babel. But as these are they who deprive others of all the cognition of truth, as before said, the words signify at the same time the deprivation of internal worship, for the one is a consequence of the other. And here we have the consequence, for it is stated for the third time. That the first ancient church was deprived of the cognitions of truth and good is evident from the fact that the nations which constituted that ancient church became for the most part idolaters, and yet had a certain external worship. The lot of those idolaters who are outside the church is much better than that of those idolaters who are within the church, for the former are external idolaters, whereas the latter are internal idolaters. That the lot of the former is better is evident from the words the Lord spake in Luke 13, verses 23, 28 to 30, Matthew 8, verses 11 and 12. This, therefore, is the reason why the state of this ancient church was changed. 1329, verse 10. These are the births of Shem. Shem was a son of 100 years, and begat Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. These are the births of Shem, signifies the derivations of the second ancient church. Shem is internal worship in general. 100 years signifies the state of that church at the beginning. Arpachshad was a nation so named, by which is signified science. 2 years after the flood signifies the second post-diluvian church. 1130. These are the births of Shem. That this signifies the derivations of the second ancient church is evident from the signification of births as being the origin and derivation of doctrinal things and of kinds of worship, as before said, number 1145. Here and elsewhere in the word, the births are no other than those of the church, that is, of doctrinal things and of kinds of worship. The internal sense of the word involves nothing else, and therefore when any church is born, it is said that these are its births. As for instance, when the most ancient church was born, these are the births of the heavens and of the earth, Genesis 2, verse 4, and in like manner with the other churches which followed before the flood. This is the book of the births, Genesis 5, verse 1. In like manner with the churches after the flood, which were three, the first called Noah, the second named from Eber, the third from Jacob, and afterwards from Judah and Israel. When the first of these churches is described, the record begins in a similar manner. These are the births of the sons of Noah, verse 1 of the preceding chapter. So with this second church named from Eber in this verse, these are the births of Shem, and with the third also, in the 27th verse of this chapter, these are the births of Terah. So that births signify nothing but the origins and derivations of the doctrinal things and of kinds of worship of the church that is being described. The reason why the births of this second church are derived from Shem, or why its beginning is described as being from Shem, is that Shem signifies internal worship, here the internal worship of this church. Not that the internal worship of this church was like the internal worship which was signified by Shem in the preceding chapter, but merely that it is the internal worship of this church. 1331. From what has been said, it is now evident that Shem denotes internal worship in general. The quality of the internal worship of this church is evident from those who are named in succession after Shem, namely, that it was characterized by the scientific, as is confirmed by the numbers of the years when they are examined and unfolded. 1332. That 100 years signifies the state of that church in general is evident from what has been stated and shown before concerning numbers and years. Number 482, 487, 488, 493, 575, 647, 648, 755, 813, 893. Namely, that they signify times and states. But what states they were, and of what quality, that are signified by the number 100 years, and by the numbers of years in the following verses of this chapter, it would be tedious to explain. Moreover, also, this subject is intricate. 1334. That Arpakshad was a nation so named, and that thereby is signified science, was stated at verse 24 of the preceding chapter. Number 1236. 1335. 2 years after the flood. That this signifies the second post-diluvian church may be seen from the fact that by a year in the word, as also by a day and by a week, is signified an entire period, greater or less, of fewer or of more years. In fact, a period in the abstract, as may be seen from the paragraphs referred to above. Number 488, 493. So here, with the 2 years after the flood, by which is signified the second period of the church, which was when this second church began.